Good morning. The reading is from Colossians 1, verses 9 to 14. Thanksgiving and prayer. For this reason, since the day we have heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that this Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen.
No, thank you. Today we start a new series for the next few weeks, having come to the end of our journey through Paul's letter to the Philippians. When Alistair and Catherine and myself met together a few weeks ago to pray and plan and prepare, we felt led to focus on the fundamental question: what has Jesus done for us? So over the next 7 weeks, we shall be looking at seven different aspects of the grace of God in the gift of Jesus Christ, using different scripture passages to highlight each one of these. So seven different answers over the forthcoming weeks to the question, what has Jesus done for us? Though, of course, they're all in some ways interconnected and interrelated. They're all part, each part, of God's salvation plan. This morning, the first of these answers to the question, what has Jesus done for us? And that is, Jesus has removed us from one kingdom into another. Now, the verses we are particularly focusing on are these. I'll just read them again. It's towards the end of the Bible passage that Helen read for us. Giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us, notice this, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So God in Christ has brought us, or transferred us — the Greek can mean that, and some translations have that — or transferred us from one kingdom into another kingdom. If, say, a Dundee United player was transferred to Dundee, or a Dundee player was transferred to Dundee United, that player, the moment the transfer goes through, that player then owes an allegiance and loyalty to his new owner, to his new manager, to the supporters of his new team, and also to his new fellow players. He has been transferred from the one to the other. The transference carried out by God is not only a transfer, but also a rescue. It meant and means two things in particular, which we'll focus on this morning. The first of these is transference from darkness to light. Paul says he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. And we see he speaks in the previous verse of this being the kingdom of light. So when anyone puts their faith in Christ and gives their new loyalty and allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ, they are transferred by God's grace from the powers of darkness and into the light and life of Jesus Christ, into a new kingdom, into a new realm, a new state of things, under new management, so to speak. I don't intend to say much this morning about the darkness, the dominion of darkness. We just have to watch the news or read a newspaper or look around at our society and the culture, just the state of things, just what a mess. And there's also the darkness, as we well know, within the human character, that propensity we have to mess things up, including relationships. All man's inhumanity to man, as Robert Burns writes. That twist and bias in humanity that says, me first, I want, I know best, glory to man in the highest rather than glory to God in the highest. As one writer puts it, in the garden, that is each of us, always the thorn. Prayer books of a previous generation speak of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that is the kingdom, the dominion of darkness, from which God in Christ has rescued us and transferred us. The Bible really just simply states, as a matter of fact, that mankind is sinful and fallen, both morally distorted and spiritually damaged. And the gospel points to Christ as the only one who can straighten out our twisted nature to save us, to rescue us, to reorder our disordered lives. So let us focus on the light. The light of Christ, the kingdom of light that Paul refers to here. When one Christian martyr, Thomas Bilney, read that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, he said, it was like the dawn breaking on a dark night. I've been fortunate to have been in the Holy Land, Israel, 4 times, once with a group of fellow ministers, and 3 times leading a pilgrimage party from the congregation where I was minister, with some others happily joining our group also. We always had first a few days centered in Jerusalem, and then a few days centered in the Galilee, up in the north. When we were in Galilee, our hotel was in the city of Tiberias, and it was right on the water's edge, right on the very edge of the Sea of Galilee, the western shore. And some of us, it wasn't compulsory, it was not part of the official program, but we would get up very early and go out to the hotel area right at the water's edge, right at the edge of the Sea of Galilee. And we'd wait there for dawn breaking over the lake, for sunrise. And of course it was pleasantly warm, even about 5 in the morning. And the darkness would gradually lighten. And then as we all looked east, very suddenly and dramatically, the rim of the sun would just appear over the hills at the eastern edge of the lake across the water and then rise so quickly and so powerfully into the now blue sky. And it was always a special moment, such a powerful symbol in Galilee itself of the light dispelling the darkness. John's Gospel declares in the very first chapter, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And again, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. At the healing of a blind man, Jesus declared, "I am the light of the world." The light has dawned. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, has come upon us and is now in our midst. Light, it's such a, a powerful symbol, isn't it? The star over Bethlehem, the visitors from the east following its light. As with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold, as with joy they hailed its light, leading onward, beaming bright. Or think just of the presence and power of a candle. Even just one single candle shining in the darkness, yet so strong and making such a difference. As someone once said, it's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. So when anyone puts their trust in and gives their allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, they are there and then transferred from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of light, the light of Christ. And this theme runs right through the Bible, this theme of light. In another of his letters, 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." And so, as Christian believers, as citizens of this new kingdom, the kingdom of Christ, we are called to be reflectors of that light. Martin Luther, the founder of the Reformation in the 16th century, and the great return to scriptural study, scriptural preaching, scriptural teaching, Martin Luther once gave this illustration. "Can a rock that has been in the sunlight all day not fail to give off warmth and heat at night?" So can a Christian who's lived in the sunshine of God's love not fail to give off warmth and love? First things first, you don't say to others, "Start loving each other, be nice, be nice, be nice." No, first we need to live in the sunlight of God's love. We need, as it were, to absorb God's light and love into us. And then, we can start to give out, by God's grace, something of the light and love of Christ. And thankfully, to change the illustration, just as light can shine through cracks and through flawed glass, so praise God, he chooses to use us and to work through us, even us, despite our continuing faults and flaws and failings. Just for the sake of clarification, the Bible does not teach that before we were Christians, we were all bad, and when we become Christians, we are then all good, perfect, flawless, full of light. Rather, while still being sinners, and we go on being sinners, we are transferred from one kingdom to another kingdom, from one sphere to another sphere. From that kingdom where darkness rules to the kingdom where light rules, the light of Christ. from the kingdom where sin and selfishness and Satan hold sway, to the kingdom of our sovereign Lord and Saviour. Now, I've got some important things to say about this, but first, we'll sing a hymn about salvation. So being transferred by the grace of God from one kingdom to another. First, as we've been seeing, from darkness to light. And secondly, from slavery to freedom, from condemnation to forgiveness. If we look at the passage again, just right at the very end, we read, "In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." They go together, redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Redemption in Roman times was a word used for the emancipation of a slave, for paying the price of setting a slave free, for the buying back of someone who was in the power, who was in the ownership of someone else. We can try and imagine the feelings of being a slave for many, many years, and then suddenly set free, emancipated, liberated, the joy, the liberation, the exaltation, just the whole thanksgiving, the gratitude of being set free, the sense of freedom. In Christian theology, redemption came to mean that on the cross, it was God in Christ who paid the price in order to set mankind free. Human beings, in our natural state, are not actually free. Paul says in Romans, we are slaves, whatever we choose to obey. And he also writes, the good I want to do, I don't do. If we act according to our self-centered desires and motives and self-interest, or just even the instincts of the moment, I just felt like it, people say, then we're not actually free, though it might seem so. Jesus came to offer mankind forgiveness of sins and freedom. For the past, the penalty of sin is broken. For the future, life is recreated and made wonderfully new. And for the present, we are called to live a life of freedom, freely choosing to serve the Lord Jesus Christ rather than the impulses of self, the narrowing, tyrannical impulse of self and self-interest and self-gratification and self-centeredness. That's not being free. To quote Tom Wright, what Jesus came to do for us was to defeat the power of evil and to launch new creation on earth as in heaven. A new creation, a new kingdom, a new king, as he says, is taking charge of the world. When Paul was journeying, Saul as he was known as then, from Jerusalem to Damascus, in order to persecute the Christians there, about noon he saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around him and his companions, and they all fell to the ground. And Paul hears a voice, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And here's what happened next. It's from Acts chapter 26. Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand on your feet. I've appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles, that's from the non-Jewish people. I am sending you to them, this is the risen Jesus to Paul, I'm sending you to them to open their eyes, and here it is again, and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Paul's conversion was also his commission, and it's our commission also. Forgiveness of sins. That is, all our wrong actions, all our wrong thoughts, all our wrong words, all our wrong intentions through our lives have all been blotted out of God's book of remembrance. They are gone, all of them, gone forever and ever, taken upon himself by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And only Jesus Christ can do that for us or for any person. Such a salvation, such a Saviour. And to God be the glory. Let us pray.